There you go. Isaiah 53, times again. I'm sure in order to turn that off, I have to pay or something. Last week, Dale stole my teaching and was sharing about Philippians. This week, Peter stole my teaching and was praying about Jesus the healer. So there you go. Now you have it. Today I wanted to share on Jesus the healer, subtitled An Encouragement to Deliverance. And we'll read Isaiah 53, which is the prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ and what he would accomplish. And then we're going to read a section in God's Word that I just really has been a real blessing to me, and hope it blesses you. Whenever I need encouragement in that area, I tend to go to the section in God's Word. So we'll read it. I pray that it blesses you. But let's first read this prophecy in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. And this is talking about Jesus Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This was written, obviously, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus Christ came and actually did those things that Isaiah the prophet prophesied that he would do. And because of that work that he did, it says there that by his stripes we are healed. It says that all the sins that were laid on mankind were dealt with. So Jesus Christ dealt with both sin, and he dealt with sickness, the results of sin. All were accomplished by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 8 now, which is a section I wanted to read to you. This is such a wonderful chapter. And when it comes to the area of deliverance, physical deliverance or mental deliverance or whatever kind of deliverance, all the keys that we need to understand related to that deliverance are in God's Word. Surely we're all encouraged by experiences that people have. You know, it's a great blessing to hear, yeah, I got healed of this, or I got blessed by this, and those are wonderful. But all the keys that God wanted his people to understand when it comes to deliverance are right here in God's Word. And this chapter here, this chapter and a half we're going to read, is like, there are so many wonderful keys here. So we're just going to go through this, and you'll see that... To me, I read this chapter and I get tired of what Jesus Christ went through, you know, in a short period of time, and what the results were. It's wonderful. So we'll just go read through this bit and point out some keys, and I hope that they help you. They've certainly blessed me and helped me over the years in an encouragement towards any kind of deliverance that you might be needing in your life. Chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had no issue with the fact that Jesus Christ could do it or not. He just was asking him, would you do it for me? And, you know, the great thing to note here is he came to Jesus Christ. Right. He came to him. And Jesus put forth his hand, verse 3, and touched him. Or embraced him is the word, which you were not supposed to do to lepers, by the way, because you would catch leprosy. Saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Totally cleansed right there. Leprosy is a pretty serious disease, yes? Mm-hmm. No, we don't see much of that anymore in the world, but you know, at the time, very serious. So it didn't say that the leper went now to rehab center for 6 months. It says he was immediately cleansed. And what did it take? Him going to Jesus Christ saying, I know you can do this. Would you do it? He said, sure. Done. Very simple. But the interesting thing there is, and again, there are keys here, is he came to Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, for go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony on it. According to the law, that's what you're supposed to do when you got deliverance. And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. You see the key there again. The first guy came to Jesus, and here the centurion comes beseeching him. Now, you don't see a lot or any cases in the Word where Jesus Christ went around to hospitals and went to these places and did that place looking for people to heal. What you do see consistently is people coming to him. Very important to understand that. They came to him and saying, Lord, verse 6, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. This is a flabbergasting response here to me. I read this every time I read this. I read this section so many times because, it's a section that I really personally really love to go to a lot. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. He said to him, I don't deserve to have you in my house. Wow. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So what was he saying? What was he saying to Jesus Christ? Because he's a soldier, and I work for the military, it doesn't really matter. You guys understand, when a soldier says, oh, God, you do this, they do it. There's no question. You don't ask any questions. You do this. And the guy says to Jesus Christ, I'm a soldier. I understand this concept that when he said something to this guy, he must do this. What he's saying to him, I understand. You have the authority to do, say what you will, and I know this disease or sickness or whatever it is will obey you. I understand that. And he says this to Jesus Christ. That's why the next verse is amazing. That Jesus Christ said, wow. Heard it. He marveled. He said to them, I said verily say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. He goes, those guys who were supposed to be waiting for me to be here don't believe like you do. All he was saying to him, I understand your authority. I know that you can say this, and this is going to happen. What a key. You know, again, when we read this through the section here, recognize that we've just did a section on it. We just learned about Ephesians. Right? We'll close there later, but recognize that all that Jesus Christ accomplished is now available to you. So when it talks about him having the authority, who has the authority today? Don't forget it. So the centurion comes to him and says, you have the authority to do this. Verse 11, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. They didn't believe. A lot of people are going to believe, shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast what? Believe. Because there are a lot of people in Israel who are not going to be blessed because they just didn't believe. And here you are, a centurion, you tell me that you believe. Guess what? It's done. See, the one thing Jesus Christ required of people is what?
Believe.
Just simple. Do you believe?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Here you are, right? It wasn't like, have you been perfect today? Have you studied for 6 years? Have you been around for a while? Or no. All he said was, do you believe? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Done. That's all he demanded. All he required from him was to believe. He says, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. He didn't even go to his house. All it required was a little bit of believing. Verse 14. I tell you, this chapter just goes on and on. It's just like one after another. Yeah. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Just like the authority that he had over whatever the centurion had, the fever could not stay. It had to respect Jesus Christ's authority, and leave. You know, and when you're sick for, you know, you've been sick for a while, or you have a cold or the flu or something, then you get better, then you go through this, okay, a couple of days, you watch a lot of TV or drink, eat a lot of soup or whatever we do to get better, right? What did she do? She arose and ministered unto them right away. It wasn't a matter of, yeah, we know you've been sick for a while, you had a fever. She got up. She was 100% healed. Up. And now she's ministering to them. What deliverance? Leper immediately healed. Didn't have to go through any kind of, I'm not saying rehabilitation is bad. I'm not saying all that. All I'm saying is what is available in Christ is complete and absolute deliverance. That's what it says. Read it. Let's keep reading.
Amen, brother.
What's that? What's that?
Amen.
Amen. Can I have an amen here?
Amen.
Patrick must have gone to a different church.
I did.
That's great. Verse 16. And when the even was come, you know, so as if he hadn't done enough already, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed a few of all that were sick. Boy, his success rate's pretty good, would you say? Pretty good. 100% healed. Anybody that came. All those that were possessed, anybody that was had sicknesses, all healed. Nothing. No one missed. No one got missed. Wow. What a Lord. Verse 17, Isaiah 53, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet years and years before, hundreds of years ago. Isaiah had said this was going to happen. And so Jesus Christ, here he is fulfilling it, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So he took our sins, he took our sicknesses. Not just those people, our sins and sicknesses. Or anybody, you or I, have the blessing or opportunity to minister to. You say, you know what? Jesus took your sicknesses. He took your sins. He took them all upon himself. Now you make him your Lord, and you get the blessings of deliverance and eternal life. You know, what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to set somebody. And yes, you can do it. We can all do that. Verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whatever, I'm with you all the way. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he goes, you know what? It's not an easy walk. Sometimes you don't have a place to sleep. You want to follow me? Recognize the commitment that it takes. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Let me wait, and then I can do it. And Jesus said unto him, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. That should really, learn from the bishop. That should say, let the town bury their dead. If you want to follow me, you make the commitment now, and let's go. No waiting, no tarrying. There's no room for waffling. That's what faith takes. There's no question. There's no uncertainty. It is a reality. When he says this, this is the result. That's the reality of believing. Verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, the disciples followed him, and behold, there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Right? Wow. And his disciples came to him and said, woke him, saying, Lord, Lord, save us, we're going to die, we perish. And he said unto them, you know, again, key after key after key that God has put in this section of Scripture. He said, why are you afraid? Or you have little faith. So we understand from that, what is one of the enemies of believing? Fear. There's no room for fear in believing. You know, whatever might happen in life, we don't say, oh, now, this has happened, now what happens if this, and what happens if this, and what happens if... There's no room for that. All there really should be for room in our head is this. What does the Word of God say? What does it say? And that's it. I don't want to go down to what if this and what if that and all those things that aren't believing. The believing is this is what the Word says, and this is what we believe. He says to them, look, what are you guys so afraid of? Didn't you see what happened back when we were in Capernaum? Didn't you guys see that? What are you afraid of? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Why? Because they had to respect his authority. Jesus Christ had authority. The wind and the sea had to respect his authority. Wow. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And it keeps on going. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Now, I can't even imagine what this was like. It's hard to understand what the word means when it says exceeding fierce. Nobody wanted to go near these guys. They were so wicked. And maybe, you know, whatever they were doing, I know that, you know, seen a few, a little bit of that in India a few times.
Yeah,
but, you know, like some of this stuff that you see here, "And behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?'" So they saw her, they saw him, and they say, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" This is not those two men speaking here. It is the spirits that are possessing these men. Look, even the spirits know that someday their time is done. He goes, "How come you're here tormenting us now? We know later on this is going to happen. Why are you doing it now?" Right? And, you know, we even saw in Ephesians. Didn't it say in Ephesians that by the church, God is going to make manifest to those birds up there in the principalities what his great plan was? And here, these guys are saying, "Oh, are you going to torment us? This is the devil spirits talking to Jesus Christ." And there was a good way off in the herd from them, a herd of swine, many swine feeding. So the devil besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. So he cast out the spirits. The spirits had to obey. They could not stay. This next verse, these two verses are amazing. So, you know, if you live in the town, and let's say by the gas station or whatever down here, there was someone living across the street there that every time you passed by, they were screaming and yelling, and everybody went by, and everybody was really scared to go by that way. It would probably be counted as a pretty bad part of town. You want to avoid that because there's a couple of guys who are possessed and never know what they're going to do. And so someone comes along and heals them and casts out the spirits. Wouldn't you be thankful? Wouldn't you say, "Wow, this is great. Could you stay a little while and take care of a few other parts of town that we know about?" Let's see what happens. Verse 33. "And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to them to the possessed of the devils." What did befall them? They were healed. They were delivered. Now they were normal and sound. "And behold, the whole city came to meet Jesus, and when they besought him that he would leave." Get out. We don't want healing in our town. We don't want you taking care of our possessed folks. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It amazes me, you know, how they would depart out of their coasts. Deliverance. So, you know, don't be, like we always say, don't be alarmed if the world doesn't like the things you do or the things you say or the things you stand for or the things you think. They certainly didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ very much, did they? And what did he heal them? He cast out, my goodness, chapter 9, verse 1, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold," it just keeps going, "and they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on." What did they brought unto him? You know, I have this personal thing. This is just me. But when someone's not feeling well, especially when it's a believer, and they've been in the Word for a few years, you know, they understand God's Word a little bit, and I notice that they're sick or not feeling well, I don't tend to go to someone and say, "Would you like me to minister to you?" That's just me. Because it's hard for a believer who's sick to say, "No, I don't want you to." They feel guilty. Well, yeah, of course. But that's not why I do it. So this is me. It may not be you. But it's like if a person wants healing, they ought to ask you. Okay? They're believing to get delivered. They want someone to minister to them. I say, please ask. And again, not a law. No law that says you can't ask somebody. I'm just saying it's interesting in these records. And again, you look for the keys. What is God recording here that shows us how to believe? And we all want to believe him more, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't we all want to understand how this works so we can see it consistently and faithfully? So when you see in all cases, they came to him Help me, Lord. So what, you know, we learned that key. Okay, I want to be believing before I ask you to minister to me. I want to know that this is going to get done now, and I'm going to come to you and say, Patrick, and Grace, Peter, minister to me. You know, to me, that's just me, but I read these records show us things. Let's not miss what they show us. So here they are. They bring them in a bed to him, and Jesus, seeing their what? Faith. How did he see their faith? Because here they are bringing him to them, saying, look, this guy needs help. Saw their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Interesting. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk. How he just dealt with every situation according to what God showed him to do. In this case, tells the guy, your sins are forgiven you. Wow, interesting. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it be easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. What was possibly, this man had a problem with sin. Maybe that's what was keeping him from being, you know, that could be a problem with us sometimes. Maybe you think you're unrighteous. Maybe you don't think maybe your sin is stopping you from believing, accepting God's best. What does it say in Romans? When did he save us? When we least deserved it. What was it by? By grace. Nothing to do with the things you are, actually, nothing to do with the things we did. Nothing to do with that. So here he knows that this guy might have a problem with this. And so he tells him, your sins are forgiven you. And then he says, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house right away. Didn't go through physiotherapy. Didn't go through, again, nothing wrong with any of those things. But recognize what is available. And then we bring ourselves up to the level of what God's word says. And not the word of God down to where our believing might be or might not be. And he rose and departed. Verse 8, and when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Down to verse 18. While he spake these things, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him. Lost my place. Saying, my daughter is even now dead. You know, but come and lay thine hand upon her, and she shall live. So is he believing?
Yeah.
He says to her, again, you see it again. See, it's every single instance, every one of them we've read here, they came to him and said, look, you lay your hand on her and she shall live. And Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, on their way, if that wasn't enough, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of it. She came to him, touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy believing, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And she had suffered this for 12 years. My goodness, you know. Where do you think we need to go for deliverance? The Lord. That's where our 100% confidence out of life is in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. That's where it ought to lie. That should be the forefront of our thinking. Anything that ever comes up, the first thing that we think is Matthew 8, Matthew 9, Isaiah 53, John 14, 12, John 10, 10. It doesn't matter what verses you have in your mind about it. That's where they go. That's what we think. That's what Jesus Christ died for. That's why God had him die for us. Verse 23, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they were so encouraged by his believing. No, they laughed him to scorn. Get out of here, Jesus. What the hell do you know anyway? She's dead. I can see it. Get out. I don't want to hear, you know, I don't know what scorn was. Scorn is pretty bad. They scorned him. The other village wanted him to get out because he had healed people. They scorned him. So what did he say? and when the people were put forth. You know, great keys to understand. You got things that are blocking you. You got friends that are causing you trouble or unbelief. Get rid of them. There's no reason to keep friends like that. There's no reason to keep associations that don't help you to believe God's word. What's the point? Unless you're happy with not believing God's word. You know, here, he doesn't say, get out of here. I don't need to hear this. Puts them out. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Wow. You could sit there for days and just think about this record, what happened here. This person's, he came to her, and he said, it's his daughter. She was dead. That's it, end of life. And Jesus comes, and she's back again. Wow. Sometimes you can't even get your mind right, can you? It's kind of like... And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed, oh boy, more. You see the power-packed section of Scripture here in Matthew 8 and 9. You know. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, who's following who? Was it Jesus Christ following the blind men, saying, hey, come over here, I can heal you. No, they're following him. They're coming to the Lord. Saying, following him, crying and saying, see, it's consistent. I mean, God just puts these consistently, the same truth, the same keys, same, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe you that I may, do you believe that I can do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord, absolutely, no question. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your believing, be it unto you. And he and their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them. See that? No, they hadn't seen. They were blind. Can you imagine what joy and deliverance took place here? Wow, they're probably jumping up and down and see again. Wow. You know, like you see the dead, you see lepers, you see the blind. I mean, there's no limit to God's deliverance. I mean, basically, when you know, dead is pretty much it, right? It doesn't get any worse than that. Dead, that's it. That's why it's neat in the epistles. It talks about we believe in God who raised the dead, right? It says that. Because once you know you can do that, everything else is simpler and easier. Not that dead is any harder for God, but see how he puts it here. You see, from basically absolutely no hope to complete and total deliverance in every situation that Jesus Christ confronted here. Verse 31, not stopped yet. But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They didn't really do what he told them not to do. Told them, don't tell anybody right now, but they went about and told everybody. Okay. Verse 32, and as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, dumb man, possessed of the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, well, he's doing this through Satan. He casts out devils for the prince of devils. Again, some more wonderful believers, who are men who are trying to encourage believing, right? You see, it's always, you see, we know there's an adversary, okay? We know that. So you see in the walk of Jesus Christ, when there's great deliverance being brought to people's lives, or the word of God is being spoken, you always have that things gnawing at them, the nagging coming. And they knew our day is coming, we know that, but don't do anything right now, but they're still there doing their stuff. And sometimes it's people, you know, oh, you can't do that, or get out of our town, we don't need this help. So you see it time and time again. And here, these Pharisees saying, you're doing that through Satan. See, constant attack. So that's the Lord. You serve him, so don't be afraid. Verse 35, and Jesus went, 34, but the Pharisees said this, and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing, and in case we had missed it in chapter 8 and 9, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, this is a difficult situation. Every sickness, but this is a new strain of virus, a new germ, every sickness, every disease among the people. There was nothing that could withstand the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority which now lies in you. the authority that now you walk with, being born again of God's Holy Spirit. That's the way you walk. That's why it's good for us to read these sections, to understand the authority that we've been given. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. And he says that lots of work to do here, fellas, so let's get on with it. I'll close in Ephesians chapter 1. All right, it's just such a wonderful section of scripture to read and reread and to think about and put in our minds. Ephesians chapter 1. We just finished doing Ephesians, so let's remind ourselves of these couple of verses here in chapter 1. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and we just read about him, love unto all the saints, cease not to think, give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, and we saw that, to believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And when Jesus Christ was there in Matthew, already at that time, those things that he was dealing with had to respect his authority. And that was before God had done this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Because that happened when God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. And yet even when he was here walking the earth, his authority was greater than all that stuff. So recognize what you think you have now with all that Jesus Christ has accomplished. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, above everything, above everything, and we're part of his body, so we're above everything, and we have the right and responsibility to use the name of Jesus Christ to walk with the authority that he walked with. See, so it's a real blessing to know that God hasn't left us without recourse once the Lord Jesus Christ was gone. It was wonderful what he did when he was walking here, and it says that if the adversary had known what was going to happen after he left, he would never have killed him. So now recognize that everywhere you are, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You walk with the authority that he walked with. And just the same way in which those guys had to respect you, they have to respect your authority. Yet, you can't have any fear in your life. There's no room for fear. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for being conscious of your sins. And all those wonderful keys we learned in there. Right? All that stuff has to go. It's the Word of God that must be first and foremost in the front of our minds to understand, to walk with that authority. It's just a blessing to read to see what is available from God's Holy Word. So there's a little bit about Jesus the healer and encouragement for us towards deliverance, not just for ourselves, but for the people that we have the opportunity to minister to and speak to. Yeah.